And thank you for that. It's times like this, it's always such a good reminder what a blessing it is to be surrounded by church family. People that care. People that we know are going to help us through difficult times. Such a blessing to have. You see in your bulletins there's a spot for the message title. Andrea has been pushing us. She texts us Fridays and asks for a title. And there's no title in there because I didn't have one yet Friday, which maybe you will find out why. If you want to write in the title, I would probably write down the secret to rest. Rest. How do we do that? How many of you this morning are tired? How many of you have had a hard week? Okay, most of your hands are going up. How many of you feel like you got more going on than you can handle right now? A few more hands. How many of you feel like you need to cut something out, but you don't know what? Everything you're doing is pretty much a good thing, so you're not sure what to cut out. Kyla's got so much going on. Wow. How many of you feel like you need a vacation? I figured all the hands would go up on that one. How many of you would come back from that vacation and still be tired? So I'm not the only one. All right. This was me. I was going to say this was me the last 2 weeks, but the more I look at it, it's been longer than that. We're busy. We're all busy. And I feel like I have been just covered up. And I felt like I needed a vacation, but I didn't even have time for a vacation. And I was becoming that person that when somebody asked me how I'm doing, my answer was, I'm just busy. And I don't like to be that person. I don't like to be that person that goes around telling everybody that I'm so busy that I don't have time to do what I need to do. I don't like to be that person. But that's who I was becoming. And I was trying to figure out what exactly was causing all this stress, all this anxiety, all this busyness. But I couldn't put my finger on one certain thing. I didn't know what to cut out. I felt like I needed a vacation. Well, last weekend, we got to go camping. And I was like, well, it's a short vacation, but this is what I need. We went Friday afternoon, and Saturday was the first day that I accomplished what I set out to do in a long time. And I set out to do nothing that day, and I accomplished it. That felt pretty good. But I was still tired. I was still stressed. I was still a little bit grouchy. You can ask my wife and kids about that. Something needed to give, but I didn't know what. Somehow I needed to find time to rest without taking a week-long vacation. A vacation wasn't in my budget. It wasn't on my schedule. I didn't have time for a vacation. And I think most of us know how that feels. So how do we find time to rest, or how do we stay rested in our busy schedules? Because all of us are busy. And October just started 2 days ago, it seems, and we're already halfway through. So how do we manage to find time to rest in our busy lives? Well, last Saturday when we were camping, I was reading. It got really hot, and I actually ended up in the camper in the air conditioning, which is almost a no-no for me when you're camping. But it was hot. And so I went in there, and I was reading, trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about today, because I had to preach in a week and I had nothing. And if you've ever had to do that, that can get a little scary. You're a week away and you don't know what you're going to talk about. Well, I came across a very familiar passage, but that really stuck out to me in a new way. If you want to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, I'll be reading verses 25 through 30. And we all know this scripture. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And those last couple of verses really jumped out to me. Jesus said, come to me, I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'll give you rest for your body or for your mind. He said, I'll give you rest for your souls. And it hit me, that's what I need. That's what I'm missing. I'm not giving everything I have to Jesus, because he will give us rest. Now, this invitation at its core is probably an invitation for salvation. Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are struggling with your burden of sin, come to me, and I will take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. What does he mean by rest? Very likely, he was talking about eternal rest. I believe part of that is what he was talking about, is come to me, give your lives to me, and I'll take care of your burdens, and I will give you eternal rest. But between now and eternal rest, we still need to find a way to have our souls be at rest. There has to be a way to do it. I'm going to look a little bit at this scripture. You think of Jesus talking to the Jews and telling them, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's a bold statement. You take my yoke and I'll give you rest. How could Jesus say that? Well, if you look at verse 27, he kind of explains to us why he can do that. He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. They were equal. God the Father, God the Son are equal, is what he's saying here. And there's a couple more scriptures that bring that out too. The Gospel of John, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Talking about Jesus here. And jump over to verse 14. And the Word became flesh, or Jesus, and the Son of God, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Reaffirming to us that Jesus is God's Son. He is equal to God, and he has been given full authority by God. Everything on earth is under Jesus' control. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says the same thing. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus was saying, I am God's Son, and I am equal with God, and all things have been given to me. Therefore, I have the authority, and I have the power to give you rest. Because of who I am, you can come to me. Now let's look a little bit more at this invitation. It's a three-part invitation. We are supposed to come, we are supposed to take, and we are supposed to learn. So the first part, now, this you could make a salvation message out of this. But I'm talking to a group of believers, and I believe most of us that are, I should say, all the adults here, have accepted this invitation. We've done that first part. We've come to Jesus. So if we come to Jesus, that means we're leaving something. We've left our lives of sin behind us. We've come to Jesus. What's the next part? Take my yoke upon you. That doesn't sound very comfortable. I don't know how many of you have ever worn a yoke and not an egg yoke. But the thought of this big heavy beam around your neck and a smaller wooden one around the bottom of your neck, and you put your shoulders into that yoke and you pull, that doesn't sound very comfortable. But to the Jews, when they hear of being under someone's yoke, they were always under the authority of someone. At this time, it was the Romans. Before, the Babylonians, the Assyrians. And that was often what was referred to as being under the yoke of a certain nation or under the authority of someone else. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. You don't have to wear that burden of sin. Take mine. Get rid of, leave what you had, come to me, take my yoke upon me. All of you that labor and are weary and are heavy laden, and from the hands I saw this morning, most of us are pretty weary right now. We're heavy laden. We're tired. We work hard. We put a lot of hours into our jobs, and then we go home and we try to do work around the house, and we have to find time for our family, and we got school activities. We got a lot going on. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And the third part, and learn from me. And that part is never finished. Learn from me, he says. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how old you are. We can never be done learning. And he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that's this continued learning from Jesus is where we can find rest for our souls. And finding rest for our souls will help us tremendously in our busy schedules. There are times we just simply cannot cut something out. We're just going to be busy. But we can accomplish all of that while being at peace, while having restful souls. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I think passage in Matthew refers to this. So we're going to look at a few ways to find rest for our souls, even though we're busy. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So the Lord says, stand in the ways. When I think of the ways, or stand in the roads, we're always going somewhere. All of us are busy people. We're going here one day. We're going here the next. When you're going somewhere, you're not standing. You're walking. Or in today's world, we're driving. Here he says, stand in the ways. In other words, stop. Stand there. Look around. Where are you going? We're all going somewhere. He says, stand in the way. If you're going to stand, that means you got to stop what you're doing. You got to stand there. It says, stand in the ways and see. Look where you're going. Look out around you. We get so busy, sometimes we forget where we're going, or we don't realize where we're going. It says here, stand in the ways and see. Stop. Look around. What are we doing? Where are we going? Take a little bit of time and just stop. And next he says, ask for the old paths, where the good way is. And in Jeremiah, he was very likely referring to, look back at your forefathers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, look at the relationship they had with God. Look at the lives they lived, the examples they led. Look for that. What's the old way? How did they do it? Go back to that. Now, to tell each one of us to go back to the old ways, in this church, that's a large variety of old ways, because we've all grown up and we got Pennsylvania, Ohio, we have any Indiana? Well, Pennsylvania is especially unique. Sorry, I had to throw that out there. But going back to our old ways, each one of us, or most of us, I shouldn't say each one of us, I suddenly realized Nathan and Devin and some of those Mitchell grew up in this church, more or less, right? Whew, I'm getting old. But if we look back at the churches we grew up in, we did things differently. And most of us don't necessarily live that way anymore. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying find someone that's has more life experience than you and ask them, what did you do to stay rested? What do you do to get all your things done, to make everything fit into your schedule? How did you do it? Ask your parents, ask your grandparents. And sometimes that means cutting things out. Sometimes that means going back to the way people have done it back in the day, because it worked. There was a reason they did it. But another thing to look at, ask for the old ways. What's the oldest book there is. The Bible. Since the beginning of time, a lot of those things are recorded here in the Bible. We could consider the Bible the old ways. Let's go back to the Word. How did these guys do it? What did they do? They were busy back then too. You can't tell me just because they didn't have Facebook and Twitter that they weren't busy. They were busy people. They had to be. You look at Abraham and all the flocks he had and all the servants he had. He had to be a busy person. But yet he found time for God. Let's read the Scripture. Go back to the old ways. And it says we can find rest for our souls. Let's be willing to stop. Look around. Where are we going? What are some other ways we can find rest for our souls? 1 Peter chapter 5. Reading verses 5 through 11. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7 says, cast some of your cares upon Him. No, it says cast all your cares upon Him. Sometimes we get to that point where we've got so much going on, we don't know what to do next. Jesus cares about that. Cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. He's going to take care of us. And sometimes He might tell us, there are some things you need to cut out. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for us. He really does care for us. And if we give Him all our cares, all our trials, and tell Him, Lord, I don't have time for all of this anymore. What do I do? He'll help us because He cares for us. And this verse goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because the devil is out there for us. He's after us. What is one of the best ways for him to get to us? Take away our time. A while back, we had a brother from Africa share on being busy. It wasn't Lucas, it was Joseph. And he had an excellent message on being too busy for God. And I think in today's world, that is one of the biggest ways the devil tries to get to us. He makes us busy. We are too busy for each other. We're too busy for church. We're too busy for our family. We have to go to work. We got to get that paycheck. Be careful. Let's not become so busy that we don't have time for each other, that we don't have time for God. But listen, in verse 9, it says, be steadfast in faith. Why? Because your brothers and sisters are going through the same things you are. We have each other. Let's take care of each other. But it's hard to take care of someone if we don't know what they're going through. So be willing to share with someone. It doesn't have to be everybody. You don't have to stand up and tell everybody what you're going through. If you want to do that, that's okay. But tell someone, look, I'm really struggling. I need help. And we can help each other through that. Verse 9, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood. We all face these same things. Let's help each other out. And verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, sometimes we're going to suffer for a little bit. After that, He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And when I think of being settled, I think of going home and settling into my recliner, putting my feet up and relaxing. God will settle us. He will help us. He will give us rest. What that looks like is going to be different for all of us. Sometimes it's just a matter of being at rest even though you're busy. And that sounds complicated, but it can work. God can give us a restful spirit and a restful soul even though we're going to be busy, even though there's a lot of things we have to get done. Sometimes we do it restfully. Don't get stressed out about everything we do. In Colossians chapter 3, be reading a few verses out of there, 15 through 17, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And jump down to verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." I think there's a few more keys here. First, in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. You can be busy, but if you have the peace of God in your hearts and rule in your life, you won't let that stress and that anxiety get to you. And verse 17 and verse 23, "And whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus." Verse 23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily." Why? Because you're doing it for God. If you know why you're doing what you're doing, that takes a big load off your shoulders. Everything you do it for God. And you do it with all of your ability. And you let that peace of God rule in your hearts. And that'll take care of the stress and take care of the anxiety. Why? Because I'm doing this because God wants me to do it. I'm doing this because God asked me to do it. And I'm giving God all the honor and all the glory for it. And it's for Him that I'm doing it. And that takes care of so much stress. If you go to Psalm chapter 62, I don't think I'm going to take the time to turn there. But David says that his soul is waiting silently on the Lord. I think that's another important thing, is silence. Today's world is not a silent world. It's not quiet. It's busy. There's always something going. If you watch a movie, it's always moving. You got your phones on you all the time. But sometimes we need to put everything away and we just need some silence. Sometimes it's only a couple minutes. If you have a 10-minute drive home from work, turn the radio off and just drive home quietly, listening for the Lord. It's hard, almost impossible, to hear God throughout the noise. There's an account in 1 Kings when Elijah is listening for the voice of God. When did he hear it? In the still, small voice. The most clearest way I have ever heard God speak was in complete silence. And it's perfectly clear. But you have to take the time. You have to shut down everything. And you have to have silence and wait on God. Sometimes you need to wait on Him for a while. Other times you just need a few minutes every day of silence and say, "God, what do I do next?" But even with all of that, we do need to be careful that we don't get too busy. Sometimes we do need a vacation. I'm not up here saying don't go on vacation. Sometimes we need vacation. Sometimes vacations don't help us. Sometimes you go on vacation, you come back in worse shape than what you left. That's no vacation. Maybe we need to slow down a little bit. Maybe there's something we need to cut out. Maybe there's something we need to delegate to someone. I don't know. For everyone, it's going to be a little different. For me, I know this week started completely different than what it ended. And Mitchell could probably tell you that. I was a little bit crabby. I apologize, Mitchell. I was frustrated at work. I didn't want to go to work anymore, and I enjoy my job. But last week, in the beginning of... I was at the point where I didn't enjoy it. I was too busy. I was stressed out. But the week ended differently. I ended the week refreshed, renewed, and busy. This week, I didn't cut anything out. I still had a lot going. But I felt completely different at the end of the week than I did at the beginning, because I gave it to God. I said, "God, I need rest for my soul." And I came to Him, and He gave me that. He gave me that peace I needed. Yesterday wasn't much better. I thought I would have all day to study. I didn't have quite as much time as I thought. But it was all right, because God was in control. And I rested on Him. So give it to God. He cares for us. He wants to help us. But we need to make sure we have time for Him. And He will give us rest for our souls. I thought in closing I would read Psalm 23. Very, very familiar. I think probably every one of us in here could quote it. But it's such a beautiful picture of God our shepherd. And look at the word pictures in here. None of it's rushed. None of it's hectic. It's peaceful. And that's what God has for us. He has peace for us. Let's stand to read Psalm 23. I'm going to read through it one time, making a few comments, and I think we'll go back and read it together. It said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't need anything. He's my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures." You ever lay down in a nice, soft, green grass? It's a beautiful picture. "He leads me beside the rushing waters." No, beside the still waters. It's calm, it's peaceful. "He restores my soul." Give it to God. He'll take care of it. He'll restore your soul to that peace you need. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the worst times you can imagine, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because He is with me. "For You are with me. You are Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." We're always rushing, running around. We're surrounded by people that don't like what we believe in. But yet, He prepared a table before us in front of our enemies. "You anoint my head with oil. My cup isn't half full. It's not half empty. It's overflowing. We have so much more than we need. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's read Psalm 23 together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity we have to come worship You. Lord, I thank You for this body of believers. Thank You that we can lean on each other in hard times. Lord, I thank You for Your word, that we can come to You and You will restore our souls and You will give us rest for our souls, even when we're busy, even when we have so much going on. Lord, help each one of us to look to You for guidance, to know what we should cut out, to use our time wisely, and to make sure we give You the honor and the glory for everything we do, Lord. I ask You be with us as we leave from here. Safe travels for everyone, and ask You would prepare us for the coming weeks for revivals. Be with Tony as he prepares to come down here and share with us, Lord. Just ask You to watch over us and protect us. I ask this all in Your name. Amen. You're dismissed.